What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is Curious City. In our last episode, a third grader, Tristan Haupt, asked why one stretch of Ashland in Uptown has some street signs that say Ashland Boulevard. So I asked the city, and they told me, basically, oops, that's not supposed to be there. And then they fixed all the signs quite quickly. I went over there and checked a few days ago. The Ashland Boulevard signs are gone, and now they all say Ashland Avenue. My apologies to anybody who wanted to get a selfie. But while answering Tristan's question, we learned about some other interesting quirks when it comes to Chicago streets, including this one from historian Paul DeRica.
So I work at the Chicago History Museum, and we're at North and Clark. And a coworker, when I was telling her about this story, was like, well, you've probably noticed that North Avenue becomes North Boulevard when you're east of Clark. And I was like, what? And it does. And it's because here we are now in the park.
Yep. Where North Avenue rubs up against Lincoln Park is called North Boulevard. And this is because, historically, naming something a boulevard meant it had a landscaped median or it was adjacent to a park.
So whoever asked this question, they were like catching on to something that probably for a lot of us, you know, we're just kind of going about our day and we don't even notice these sort of subtle differences or distinctions.
We also learned a bunch of odd history specifically about Ashland Avenue in general. Like, the name literally means land of ash trees.
A lot of people believe it originated with the estate that had belonged to the Kentucky statesman Henry Clay. So his estate was called Ashland, and some of the first people to kind of develop the area were from Kentucky, and that's how it got that name.
Ashland is one of Chicago's longest streets, and it's a major artery. Today, we're going to talk about how it became that major artery, and why, like 100 years ago, it was widened.
Ashland became a main thoroughfare in Chicago because the way the city was laid out right from the beginning, every half mile you had a main street. North, south, or east, west.
That's Northwestern professor Bill Savage. He's writing a book all about the anomalies and politics of Chicago's grid system.
My working title is The City Logical, : Why Daniel Burnham is Way Freaking Overrated. I expect some pushback on the subtitle.
Two names that Chicago history buffs know well are Edward Bennett and Daniel Burnham, the pair who wrote the 1909 Plan of Chicago. That plan was real big, maybe too big.
Most of the Burnham plan never happened. Like, they didn't build a giant city hall bigger than the U.S. Capitol, because Chicago always has, you know, these size issues. That never happened. But the idea that Main Street should be wider happened.
In Chicago, you run into a main street every half mile in every direction, rippling out from State and Madison. That intersection was chosen as the center of this new grid system a few years before the Burnham plan.
So Ashland is a main street because it's on the regular mile marker and because people got to get places and you don't want to be going down the side streets that often dead end at something or disappear.
And Ashland was kind of identified as an ideal place to widen and expand.
This is Paul again. He says before the city could widen Ashland, the street had to connect all the way through and be a little more uniform.
Because there were different points where it would curve and wasn't perfectly straight like a lot of Chicago streets. And then too, widening it to better accommodate car traffic.
The ultimate goal was to widen Ashland from 66 feet to a uniform 100 feet.
Stretching from 95th on the south side all the way up to Devon on the north side. And so this was like a huge undertaking and, you know, impacted lots of different neighborhoods and lots of different communities as it basically cut through what was a 19-mile-long stretch of the city.
The reason for all this, Paul says, was to improve traffic for a little invention you may have heard of, the automobile. Now, reading archival news stories about this process, you get the sense that widening city streets like Ashland happened in small stops and starts over like 5 decades, roughly between the 1880s and the 1930s.
It largely happened in sections because of private property owners who didn't want to like sell basically their real estate to the city so that it could be widened. So in order to widen Ashland to a uniform 100 feet, the city had to basically purchase anywhere between 10 to 27 feet at different stretches of Ashland, which meant it was cutting, you know, into actual like properties.
the properties in the way were either completely destroyed or partially demolished.
There are instances of, basically almost kind of like the building equivalent of a plastic surgery occurring, where there's like these sort of cosmetic changes where they lose part of their front or their facade, and then they kind of like add some other features to adjust. But the vast majority of the buildings just got acquired by the city and were knocked down.
One building that did survive was Our Lady of Lourdes at Ashland and Leland. The entire church was lifted, rotated, and moved across the street from the east side of Ashland to the west. Other buildings just lost certain sections.
I did come across an account of a canning company that did have to kind of like shave off part of its front. And so they agreed to do that and just created a new facade that was more ornate than what had been there originally. There was also a bank that was located at the northeast corner of Ashland and Belmont that similarly had to like remove part of its front.
Some of the people who owned these properties were not very happy about all this.
A lot of property owners weren't happy with the deal that the city was offering them and were like tying things up with lawsuits or expecting more payment.
This is a concept called eminent domain, which means the government has the power to take private property and convert it for public use. But the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution requires the government to offer, quote unquote, just compensation. Paul says a lot of property owners didn't agree with what the city called just.
They didn't want to have to sell their properties to the city to be torn down or invest, even though they would receive support from the city, and having them moved back or altered in some way.
For others, widening Ashland was a good thing.
Yes. I mean, it was believed that it would really kind of like boost economic activity along the strip. There was a lot of activity, particularly around like Ashland and Irving Park. They had a very active local chamber of commerce, and they were really kind of promoting the expansion and what they felt would be all the sort of new businesses that would be brought in. They also used it as an opportunity to sort of clean up the area, because there were lots of bars and saloons around there. And so it was a great opportunity to kind of like take control of and then knock down those properties and then replace them with something respectable.
When the project officially wrapped up in 1936, the mayor threw a party.
The last piece of Ashland to be sort of widened and filled in was the bridge near Elston and Clybourne. And on August 20th, 1936, Mayor Ed Kelly had a big sort of ribbon cutting ceremony at the bridge.
Some 10,000 people showed up. It was a parade and everything. But even after the project was officially finished, there were complaints.
Even by the mid-30s, you already get people griping in like letters to the editor in the Tribune about some of the shortcomings of this work. One is that they did a great job widening the streets, but they didn't put in enough like traffic signals or they hadn't like updated the street lighting yet. There aren't like safety islands for people to make it easy to cross. So a lot of the streets that are widened at this time, you see like an uptick in car accidents and pedestrian fatalities, because people now have these wide open stretches of road, so they're not driving as carefully.
And the traffic congestion at the time, it wasn't getting uncongested.
Right? I mean, we have viaducts all across the city, right, where you have to basically go under train tracks. Like, they weren't widened, even though Ashland was widened. So maybe the city wasn't able to strike a deal with the railroads. So they become like bottlenecks.
And then there was the issue of some businesses that got an exception.
There's like one particular department store on the north side where, for whatever reason, the city must have reached a deal with them where they didn't have to kind of scale back their frontage. So they just like poke out a little bit into the expanded Ashland. And so you get some reader like complaining about that. So it's kind of fascinating how these large sort of like city projects unfold in this kind of uneven way, and how you're still kind of dealing with a whole host of individual personalities, even though they're kind of directed towards this collective effort.
Paul DeRica is the director of exhibitions at the Chicago History Museum, and Bill Savage is a professor of English at Northwestern University. Now, I don't know if you've been on Ashland lately, but 90 years later, here we are, and it's still congested. Will we ever reach the promised land? I'll leave you with this. I'm reminded of something called the fundamental law of road congestion. Look it up. Back in 2011, two economists proved that adding more roads does not ease congestion because more roads lead to more drivers to use those roads. So, more traffic. Grumble, grumble, grumble. This episode of Curious City was produced by me and Justin Bull. Susie Ahn is our editor. Curious City is a production of WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. If you have questions about Chicago and the region, send them our way at curiouscity@wbez.org or visit us at wbez.org/curiouscity. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you next week.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.